Okay. So, good evening, everyone. I just wanted us to imagine actually being there on that night when God single-handedly parted the Red Sea and allowed his children to walk through. Sometimes, as Celia rightly said, it all depends on what movies we've seen, what cartoon series we've seen. And, you know, I started off in my head thinking it was maybe like 40 people and that, and a couple of camels and, you know, a couple of bags on their backs. But it's quite staggering if you think, one, it was at night. And if you try to imagine, on one hand, they had the Egyptian army. Terrible people, because they had grown up under the Egyptians. They knew very well what the Egyptians were capable of. And when they said the army was after you, you trembled. And so there's this very real threat of death. And on one side, there's the Red Sea. And you would really look to God and look to Moses and wish that there was some way, maybe God might actually rain fire from on high and smite them all, and maybe that way we'll be saved. I imagine that so many people might have actually been thinking so many different ways in which God might save them. But the one thing I bet they didn't have in their minds was that the solution would be more terrifying than the Egyptian army. I absolutely loved it. I'm going to read it again. Celia read in Psalm 77. Is my mic a bit too high? So, 77, 16 says, "The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters. Though your footprints were not seen, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." So it wasn't a very serene, peaceful, quiet little walk, you know, with the waters sort of like standing on a nice little transparent and then looking at the whales and that as they walked past. It wasn't that rosy. It was thundering, lightning, windy. You know, it was raging. And it says it took a long time, like quite a bit of the night, before the path was clear. And most of the people wouldn't have actually been next to Moses to hear him, you know, or to hear anything of what was going on. They just saw people starting to walk, you know, through the sea and thinking, ah. But it really got me thinking, you know, God is such a powerful God. And anyone who was there on that day would have no doubt about the mighty and awesome power of the God of Israel, that it was unparalleled. Forget all the darkness. Forget the frogs. Forget all the other plagues. Just that one day, if they weren't sure, that day, they would have really just forgotten everything and really thought, okay, now this I don't know about. So it got me thinking, how many of us today actually still believe that God is still as powerful today as he was back on that day? Honest. It's okay to be honest. Yeah. So today, I just thought have a little look at that, the miracles and God of miracles, and maybe have a little look at that in those terms, you know. So we looked at Moses, or I looked at Moses rather, as I was looking at this. Spectacular day, extraordinary event. And on one hand, it shows us the deliverance of God, a great show of his power. Perhaps to the Egyptian, it was a great show of God's wrath, because I don't think they would have walked out of this whole thing smiling and thinking, wow, you know, they wouldn't have liked that at all. And it also shows God's deliverance, love, or and perhaps a little or a whole lot of fear on the Egyptian side, even on the Israelite side. It was a very fearful thing. Even if I was the one who was being delivered, I think I'd be trembling even on the other side. I'd be trembling for a week. But it was such an amazing and momentous time that we then see God, if we went back, we then see God actually commissioning Moses to go and ask or tell Pharaoh, release my people. And the one thing that immediately comes up is Moses saying, well, what if they don't believe me? Would they believe that God was actually going to free them in such a simple way? There's no army involved. It's just this one man coming up and saying, well, God says, let my people go. Would Pharaoh believe it? But God then tells him the answer, put your staff down. And as he puts his staff down, he sees the first miracle that he'd ever seen. God changes it into a snake. And to him, it was quite amazing, really. I suppose until he got to the Pharaoh, and then the other magicians also cast their snakes or cast their rods as well. It would have been such an amazing thing. Now, I just looked at it and thought, hey, this is God saying to Moses, I am going to harden the Pharaoh's heart. Why? So that he would be able to have opportunity to show his great power and his great love. It wasn't for anything else but that he wanted Israel, first of all, to actually understand who the God of Israel was. They had grown up in Israel for generations. So even the elderly amongst them had grown up in Israel. Sorry, in captivity, I mean to say. They'd grown up in captivity, and they hadn't actually seen much of what God can do. They had heard the stories of the great God of Israel, or of the great God of their forefathers, and how he had made a promise to them, and how he had looked after their forefathers. But they wouldn't have actually seen God actually doing something in their lifetime until that time. No wonder sometimes you think, oh, maybe I might just understand where they were coming from when they were being so rebellious and they were having very little faith. It might have been something to do with the way that they had been conditioned all their lives. They hadn't actually seen God moving in the miraculous until that time. It says here that they had actually been, but I will harden, this is what I just said before, I will harden Pharaoh's heart that I may multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. And this one says, now the time that the sons of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. So this is again what I was trying to say, that there was so many people who had actually not seen, if not all of them, had not seen God doing anything miraculous until that time. So these were the people that God wanted to really show. Now the sons of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, aside from children, and in other versions it will say aside from women and children. So the number was quite big. It was a very large number of people. But now, having lived in this type of condition, God would have wanted to show them a different picture of the stories that they'd heard before, so that he would show them who he actually is. For them to actually erase the picture of the great Egyptian gods, what was, I imagine, great in their heads. If you were living in captivity, and the only gods that you knew that were actually capable of doing something in your mind at that time were the gods of the people who held you captive, it was very difficult to sell an almighty and all-powerful God when you were living in slums and being a slave, and you saw every day the aggressor and the people who lorded over you, you saw the statues of their gods since you were a child up to that day. It's very easy to understand how their minds would be conditioned to fear more the gods of the place where they were raised rather than the God of their forefathers. And I believe that this is why, therefore, the God of Israel wanted to show them his might and his power so that they would understand who he was. Secondly, he also wanted to show the Egyptians and the surrounding nations who he was. He wanted to show them that he is the God who is greater than the gods that they trusted in. That Israel is in the hands of the God who is God above every other God. So, 430 years, I said, and the generations of slavery, God wanted to change all those. So now we see, was it really wonders? Did Moses do the miracles? No. It said in Psalms, he led them by the hand through Moses and Aaron. So God did wonders. God did the signs. God did all those plagues. It wasn't Moses, because otherwise we could turn around and say it was magic, just like the magicians that were serving Pharaoh at the time. But it wasn't magic. It was the power of God. And he only just used Moses as a servant. The same way that we see him actually using Jesus or working through Jesus to show his power. So God still worked his power later on in life. We see him working through Jesus in the same way that it says how God anointed Jesus Christ with power, with the Holy Spirit. And he did signs and wonders by the power of God. So it was God who anointed him. It wasn't. See, this is why Jesus says, I do the work of the one who sent me. So he was serving God. And God always is the one who actually intervenes in situations. But he used Jesus so that he could actually show his power and his authority to us. What for? To encourage us, to open our eyes, to help us to see. So what did he want us to see? The fact that he is an almighty and all-powerful God, that his hand is greater than the God of any other people. Even starting from the time of the Egyptians, what did the Egyptians believe? The Egyptians would have been believing in gods like Khepri. Some interpretations call him Khepera. This was the god of the rising sun. I kind of laughed when I looked at some of the gods that they believed in the light of the plagues that God actually threw at them. Khepera was supposed to be the god of the rising sun. Apparently he used to roll the sun, or in their belief, he rolled the sun across the sky. So he was responsible for bringing and rolling out the sunshine. But that crushed the belief of the Egyptians when there was darkness upon the land, because then they would be asking themselves, where is Khepera? Where is the God who rolls out the sunshine? Because there is no sunshine. That therefore means that the God or the gods of Israel are lesser. They are nothing before That means that the God of Egypt, Khepera, is lesser than the God of Israel. And another God of theirs were the Sphinxes. They were called Akar or Akar. They were the guardians of the gates of dawn. They protected apparently, they protected the Egyptians from wicked spirits. They were posted as two lions. That looks a bit more like leopards, but they were supposed to be two sphinxes that looked more like two lions, posted at the entrances of Egyptian palaces or in tombs to protect their dead or to protect the living and fend off evil spirits. That didn't stop their firstborn from dying. So they would have been wondering, not to say that God and the angel of death that God sent was an evil spirit, but to them, they would have expected this God to look after them during that time and help them to be free. But the God of Israel was greater. And the very last blow was the time on that day when God parted the sea and allowed his children to go through, but did not allow the Egyptians to survive. It says later on in that same chapter that the Pharaoh actually had to concede that the God of Israel is, or the God of Moses, is indeed God. So from that time onwards, there was a knowing, a fear of the God of Israel among the people who ever heard the stories about what the God of Israel did, feared the God of Israel. They feared the Israelites. And amongst the Israelites, there was a healthy fear, a godly fear, of the servant of God, Moses. This is what God wanted, for them to understand that God is God and that God is all-powerful. So now we draw the parallel of Jesus also coming in the same spirit, being led by God and actually being able to walk in the power of God and allow God to move and allow God to touch people in much the same way. But now, Jesus has given that responsibility and that power to you and I through his Holy Spirit. So the miracles of God are still alive. The miracles of God are still happening today. We may not maybe have this mighty, mighty thing that happens, you know. But God will always employ a different work at a different time. He will never do the same thing all the time. But when he needs to do something, he will do something as he wants, when he wants, so that his glory will be seen. Today, some of the miracles that we might not even consider. A simple person coming up before God and saying, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I receive Jesus. I renounce my old ways." That's a miracle. Rebirth, the forgiveness of sin is a miracle. Because no one else can forgive sins. But Jesus, he actually ushered a new way for us to actually have that miracle happening. All of us today, I would like to believe, are actually either on the path of that salvation, or we have actually crossed the bridge and we're enjoying the benefits of the miracle. Some of us have had situations that are very difficult that we prayed for and we saw God's hand in our lives at one time or another. But it is still the power of God, still working in the same way. The same power of God that when we go off to minister, we produce the fruit of the Spirit. It is not by might, it is not by power, it is not by anything but the power of God that allows us to show the fruit of God. That resilience, that forbearance, that when someone actually does something that you don't like, you don't break out and fight. The thing that stops the children who believe in Christ from taking out a knife when someone offends them and stabbing another child. The thing that stops them doing that is Jesus. And it is a miracle. So God is still working, even today, in much the same way as he was. But now he has given that ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to you and I to be able to do that. So it is now our turn to show the power of God. God is not diluted. He's not a lesser God in you or I. But the same God who did something that looks something like that is the same God who is in my heart and in your heart. And that's the same God who still does miracles today. The same God who will do miracles in our lives as we do what he wants us to do. Not what we would want him to do for us. It's a different thing wanting God to perform a miracle because we want to prove a point. It's another thing actually walking the path and then God deciding to work miracles through us as we obey him and as we follow him. See, Moses did not choose the path. He didn't suggest to God, oh, maybe God, you can part the Red Sea that way. I think that's a great idea. They'll really be scared then. He didn't say that, see. All he did was obey. And you know what? Up till the time that God said, stretch out your hand, I doubt that he even knew what the plan was. Even at the time that he led that multitude of people and he was faced with the Red Sea, I doubt that he even knew what God was going to do. But the only thing that he had was trust. And God did the rest. How much more will God do in our lives today if we just trust? Not go out looking for miracles. Not go out looking for this wonderful testimony that we want to come back and share and say, oh, you'll never guess what God did this time for me. You know, I went out and I really wanted to show it. Look, I'm such a preacher because I preached and everybody fell down and they're all wiggling and crying. No, see, it's only when we obey him that we do the will of the one who sent us. If he wants to do something miraculous, if he wants to do it in a quiet way, then he will do it in a quiet way. If he wants to do it in a spectacular way, then he will do it in a spectacular way. But for me and you, and for us as a church, it is for us to trust him, to obey him. When we are found where he wants us to be, doing what he wants us to do, in obedience and in trust, then we will be able to see God doing what he wants to do. Whether it's miraculous, whether it's not miraculous, is really up to him. Moses didn't command God to bring down manna. God commanded Moses so that he could bring manna. And if we walk in that same way, we can still see God's miracles plenty. Sometimes it just takes us being obedient and being open and just looking around us. Sometimes we need to ask God to open our eyes to see even the little things that we miss every day as we go by, the miraculous things that God does. I'm just going to leave us with that, thinking about that. Obedience, it helps us to walk in the miraculous, and they are still happening today. Amen. Thank you.